Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 82, here in a beautiful day in the Northwest with my co-host for today, the guy who's so fly, he's going to take you to the sky, Mr. Sign Guy. How you doing, brother?
Doing all right today, Coach.
Could you please introduce our guest and then ask him the first-timer question afterwards, please?
Sure. We are joined today by one half of the tag team, the Heat Seekers, that being Matt Sigmund. Matt, our first-timer question to start you out today. How did you get into this business of professional wrestling?
Hey, guys. First off, thanks for having me. I appreciate you carving out a little bit of time for me today. I've been in the business 20 years. Grew up watching wrestling. Decided I wanted to give it a try when I was 17, so I tested the waters up at Chaotic Wrestling in Boston, Massachusetts for a week back when Killer Kowalski was up that way. Went up there for a week, got beat up pretty bad, loved it, came back down, hooked up with Dr. Tom Pritchard, and the rest is history. I was with Tom for a good while, then started hitting the roads with Rock and Roll Express and Tracy Smothers and Bobby Eaton, and here we are today.
Right on. Hey, did you play sports in high school or growing up?
No, man. No sports, really. You know, young age, I did a little basketball here and there. High school didn't have, like, a wrestling team or anything. That was kind of what I wanted to do, but it was just not an option at the moment. So that was never really in the cards. So I just kind of hung around watching wrestling, traveling to events and stuff that I could see locally, and then, you know, just diving into it when I had the opportunity to do so.
Nice. And then what is your self-defense background besides wrestling?
You know, not much. It's mainly just the wrestling, man. As soon as I hooked into wrestling, that's been 100% pretty much full throttle for me over the last, you know, 19, 20 years. And so it's mainly just stayed in that avenue.
Nice. And then when you were growing up, who were your heroes? That includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
Yeah. You know, wrestling-wise, I was always hooked on, like, NWA and WCW, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I didn't really care too much as a kid for WWF, so I was always watching guys like Sting initially hooked me in, but then I started, you know, watching here and there. I'd see Rock and Roll Express and Heavenly Bodies, Midnight Express. Tag team wrestling was always something that I truly enjoyed. And then the older I got, it became guys like Regal and Malenko and whatnot. Just more of the technicians. You know, Brad Armstrong was another pretty big influence back in the day for me. So just the guys who treated it more like a sport rather than full-on entertainment side of things. So that's what hooked me in. So those guys were my heroes. Eddie Guerrero is another one who I could watch all day, any day. And then, you know, outside of wrestling, not much. Avid video game stuff, some old school country music kind of thing. But yeah, nothing too wild, nothing too crazy.
What about in sports and music?
Yeah, so music, it's always been the old school country. So the Oak Ridge Boys, I don't know if you guys know those up your way, but
yeah,
they were pretty hot in the 80s and 90s. And always followed them as a kid. And over the last, I don't know, 10 years, able to actually develop a pretty good relationship with those guys. So that's been pretty neat to have like a childhood music hero become somebody who, you know, you're texting constantly, checking in on, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's been a wild ride, but I've been very blessed with meeting heroes and living out some dreams too.
All right. Okay, and now in your lifetime, what have been some of the most memorable matches you've seen? That includes VHS tape, internet, or live.
I think the first time, and I honestly don't know when it would have been. It had to be when I was like five or so. Well, one of the first times I saw Rock and Roll Express versus Midnight Express, that was just kind of magic for me. Outside of that, really loved watching guys like Hogan in some of the bigger matches he had, you know, in WCW. Like the Starrcade buildup with Sting was something I was really excited about as a kid. So that was a pretty fun moment, even though it didn't quite live up to the hype right at the time. That was still just one of those all-time get excited kind of things. Outside of that, you know, I always popped for some of the matches you'd see either on the undercard or even on shows that are like Saturday Night or WCW Pro, because that's where you got a lot of the actual solid wrestling. I'd get more excited for some of the undercard matches on Thunder than I would some of the main matches, you know, second hour on Nitro. So I was always more of the undercard guy.
Cool. And what a dream come true. You've wrestled Rock and Roll Express many times in some classic matches.
Yeah, you know, we've been fortunate with, especially with Rock and Roll. You know, Elliot and I, over the last 10 years, you know, we've been tagging. We've wrestled Rock and Roll Express more than any team in the last 25 years. So that's pretty cool. And it's always just kind of, when you go out to the ring, especially the times where we've had Cornette with us, I go to the ring and I look around and I'm like, what am I doing? What is this life, you know? it's just always a surreal moment, and always grateful for not only the matches we've had with them, but just the learning moments we've had with Ricky and Robert over the years too. Very giving, very very kind, and very giving people, and very helpful for us to be able to accomplish some of the things we've been able to do. They've been instrumental in that.
Yeah, what a blessing. And, of course, we're excited to hear about some of your most memorable matches besides with Rock and Roll.
Yeah. You know, it's tricky thinking back on favorite matches in general, just because, I mean, there were times when we're doing 6-7 shows a week, and it all kind of, I hate to say it, it all kind of just blends together, but it does. But there are some that do stand out. You know, we've had a lot of fun ones with Rock and Roll over the years. We've had a lot of fun ones back when Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards were tagging. We had a lot of fun ones with the Wolves. And then there's a lot of independent teams that we've had just some really knockdown, drag out. What do the young kids call them now? Bangers, like with the Ugly Ducklings and teams like that over the last several years. So. Very fortunate just to be able to mix in and out with just some of the best in the world, truly.
Definitely. And who are some of your favorite people to work with?
Oh, man. Tough. I try to find something that I love just about, you know, with every match we go into. I try to enjoy what we have, the cards that have been dealt that day, right? Back in the day, Bobby Eaton was one of my favorite to not only watch growing up, but then just to get in the ring and wrestle and learn from him. He was always one who was just so respectful to everybody, and especially to me. At the time, you know, I was a green young kid, and he was always very giving and would go out there and still do, you know, 30-minute matches with me when I had no purpose doing so at the time, and he really elevated me in a big way. These days, I mentioned the Ugly Ducklings, but one of the Ugly Ducklings, Rob Killjoy, he's just always delivering top-notch. He goes out night after night working so hard in any match that he's involved in. So that's always a pleasure, just kind of locking up with him. And then there's some guys that I don't get to see all that often anymore. Chase Stevens and Cassidy Riley, we've always just really tore up with them, had a lot of solid matches with those guys too. It just depends, though, man, on the day. You know, even like tomorrow we hit the road back to North Carolina. We're wrestling some young kids that we've never had the opportunity to do so. But I'm looking forward to that kind of experience too, just getting to help develop the next crop that's coming up and pushing forward.
Yeah, and you've wrestled a lot of legends. And I know you mentioned Chase Stevens. I know he's one of the toughest wrestlers out there. Who else are some of the toughest wrestlers you've wrestled?
Toughest guy I've ever been in the ring with, bar none, is Bordell Walker. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Bordell, but
yes.
One of my favorite people in the entire business, one of the kindest, nicest people in the entire business. But, man, he's tougher than a truck. You get in the ring with Bordell, and you are in for a battle. And we ran some programs together down in the Mississippi, Arkansas, just kind of that Gulf Coast area for a few years. And I think those matches took some years off my life. they were always just hard-hitting, but they delivered. They're always solid. But Bordell's one of those guys who could legit just grab you, throw you from one corner of the ring all the way to the other corner in a 20-foot ring like it was nothing. He's just a giant, superhuman teddy bear. And we always deliver, though, and he always takes me up to that next level. So those are tough. And I've seen him in some rough situations where he's held his own against guys you wouldn't think that anybody would be able to handle. And Bordell's just that dude.
Awesome. Okay, and then this next segment is called Favorites. I'm sure Sign Guy and the rest of the fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is if you drink coffee.
Oh, do I ever drink coffee? There's not a moment in the day where coffee's not in my hand. And I used to hate it years ago. Tracy Smothers, when we were traveling together, started pushing for me to drink coffee. And I wouldn't do it. I didn't want it. Didn't like it. Didn't like the taste of it. But the more he pushed, the more I started to give in. And then I'm addicted now, quite honestly. I need to go to some sort of coffee anonymous meetings. But I do have a favorite, you know. There's a company called Lavazza, and they're based out of Italy, and it's delicious. You can buy it at most supermarket stores these days. I don't know what all you guys have up there in the Northwest, but it's amazing stuff. It's some of the smoothest tasting, delicious caffeine-filled coffee I've had.
Cool. Okay, and in your lifetime, what have been your favorite concerts you've seen?
It kind of goes back to the Oak Ridge Boys, man. I love those guys. But outside of that, Brooks and Dunn, they're another group that always work very, very hard when they don't necessarily have to. They'll go up and do 2.5 hours straight up every night, always delivers. It's also Celine Dion one time, and that was awesome. That was like a megastar super moment. You know, it's one of those concerts where you're packing out an entire arena, and at the time, you know, she's very hot on the tours, and they're doing the deal where, you know, finish the concert out and they sneak her out through the car right as soon as the last song finishes up, kind of like an Elvis moment. So that was always cool to see too. Like, that was a big one. Yeah,
nice. Okay, and then in your life, what have been your favorite sports teams?
Oh man, so I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee. And part of living in Knoxville, Tennessee, you have to kind of sign this lifetime contract, right, to live here that you have to pull for the Tennessee Vols in football, for college football. Okay. And there's no leeway there. If you don't jump on board, you get kicked out of the city. So I've been a lifetime Vols fan for, I guess, how old am I now? 37. And it's always fantastic. And I don't know if you guys watch college football or if you guys have ever been down this area. Even if you're not a Vols fan, the arena that they play in, the Neyland Stadium here in Knoxville, the energy is unlike just about anything I've ever seen outside of some, like, WrestleMania kind of situations. It's wild. It's electric.
Awesome. Okay. Well, hey, at this time, I've got more questions for you, and we're going to get you out of here within the hour. But Sign Guy's got some questions for you.
Let's go.
You mentioned Tracy's mother's pushing you to drink coffee, and Tracy's mother's probably helped more wrestlers than anyone will ever know in his lifetime. He was a major influence on a lot of us. What are some of the things that you learned from Tracy's mother's?
Tracy's one of those guys who, I mean, this business meant everything to him. And he showed that day in and day out till the day he died. And he's one of those guys, too, who would get to the town super early. He would be respectful to everybody he interacted with, right? He would get there, set up early, and he would go meet every single person and would try to and Bobby Eaton was the same way, too, but that is just a different generation, right? But he would try to go out of his way to create moments on the show, too. He wanted people to walk away remembering what he brought to the table that night. And when you go back and look at some of Tracy's matches, not only like ECW or Smoky Mountain or even the old WCW stuff, he's working his tail off. And I've seen Tracy get to a town, right, and walking around in such tremendous pain where he was barely moving prior to the show. And he would get in the locker room and he would stretch out a little bit but still be hurting. But as soon as that music hit and as soon as he hit that curtain, I don't know if it was adrenaline or just pure desire to push out of that pain and deliver something that night, but it would just click, and he would work so hard despite the pain and everything he was going through. So he was one of those guys who taught me just to be a workhorse, who would go out and just deliver night in, night out, no matter what the situation was. And it really stood with me just how well he treated everybody. And that's why Tracy's one of those guys, too, who you don't really hear anybody say anything bad about, right? People have really fun, good Tracy stories. He's always a big jokester. He had a lot of fun in the locker room, made guys laugh a lot. And he was always one of those guys who brought a fun energy to the locker room. If you knew you were on a card with Tracy, you knew you were going to have a good day. There was not going to be much bad going around it. And even when it was a bad day, he would make it a good one.
Now, it seems like from what we've heard today, a lot of your influences have been people that were tag team centric in their careers. Tracy's Mother's was in a lot of tag teams, brought up the Rock and Roll Express. Dr. Tom Pritchard was in several different tag teams.
Yeah.
Do you find that, especially being a tag team wrestler yourself, you gravitated more towards tag team wrestling overall, or is that just a mere coincidence, do you think?
No, it's intentional. Throughout my whole – now I have fun on the single side stuff too, but like for most of the time I've been in wrestling, I've been involved in tag team wrestling, and that's strictly intentional. Especially the last 10 years, Elliot started traveling with me as singles wrestlers. We were wrestling each other a lot, night in, night out. And it got to the point where we were like, we're together all the time. We both enjoy tag team wrestling. Why don't we push this endeavor? And it's tricky to do so, too, because, tag team, that's an extra little bit of money out of a promoter's pocket from, just a promoting standpoint. So it was tricky, but we stuck with it, and it's really paid off, and there's nothing I truly enjoy more. I think the storytelling you can do with tag team wrestling, at least from how I like to do it and go about it and just my history with it and perspective, It's the best in the world, and I thrive in it.
When you are wrestling as part of a tag team, people in the business know it's a different type of mindset, a different skill set than singles wrestling. Do you approach singles matches a lot differently than you would for your tag team matches, or do you, being mostly a tag team wrestler, sort of look at all the matches the same at this point?
You know, it depends on the day, depends on who we're working with, and it depends on what we're trying to get out of it. If there's stories that we're trying to build or tell, you know, going forward to something special, I try to look at every match, though, as just an opportunity to create moments that people will go home and talk about, right? We are, from a fan perspective, we're kind of a throwback. We're old school technician, tag team guys. Not kind of what you see a lot today with some of the faster high spot stuff. We tend to be more psychology based and have that older generation mindset. And that said, there's nothing wrong, in my opinion, with how a lot of guys do it today. We're just a little different. And so, and sometimes we get in those situations where we're with some of those teams that like to go in a little bit different direction. So we'll pick up a little bit of our speed, and then we'll bring some of those high spot guys down a little bit to our level just to get a happy medium. But we find ourselves just kind of being more on the serious side of things and treating the business as direct as we can.
When you look at tag wrestling in the last 20 years or so, there's been a lot of ups and downs. WWE often will de-emphasize tag team wrestling for periods of time. Then they will re-emphasize tag team wrestling. A lot of times, companies like Ring of Honor and Impact had similar ups and downs with tag wrestling where it would be more emphasized in other times. The independent circuit, of course, a different animal where you would normally have more tag team wrestling, but a lot of times you didn't have full-time tag teams in a lot of independent promotions. Do you think that as a genre, tag team wrestling should be emphasized across the board more than it is, or do you think that it's always going to be cyclical across the board, or do you think that it's going to be dependent on the time and the place?
You know, it is, it's one of those roller coaster things, right? It'll have a hot moment, and it's like wrestling in general. It'll have that hot moment, and it'll pull away. It is time and place for a lot of it, you know. When something is over, it's over, and you run with it. And a lot of times, even, you know, WWE and places, maybe they weren't focusing on tag team wrestling directly at the time, but they're throwing random guys together. You see this on the independents too, just random guys thrown together. They don't really click well, so it kind of pulls away from quality of matches sometimes. But then when you do have those moments where companies are investing in tag team wrestling and you got guys that have had a long time together and know each other like the back of their hand and can go out there and actually deliver, that's when you see the payoff from it. And the places that have done that, you know, even when WWE, they had that high moment late 90s with Dudleys and the Hardy Boys and whatnot. And then it fizzled off a little bit here and there, but then you had TNA pick up with like the Naturals and America's Most Wanted, eventually switching that over to Beer Money and whatnot. And then now you've got the Bucks and FTR and all these hot teams at the moment. It's up and down, but there are these hot moments when guys actually put that effort in and companies invest in it, and it tends to work pretty well over the last, you know, 40-50 years when they actually do it right. So I think it can be a money draw, but I think you have to be willing to put time into it too. You have to let guys establish themselves and not break them apart as quickly as we see before you can make that good connection with fans and make that money. So if given the time and the right people together, it's good. But just like anything, it's hit and miss, and there's opinions, and sometimes you get too many cooks in the kitchen that don't agree with it. That's whatever. You just got to roll with it and keep pushing forward.
And when you look at the current scene for tag team wrestling, you have a lot of teams out there. WWE has two different tag team title tournaments going between NXT and the main roster to determine multi-team matches at WrestleMania. Over at AEW, you have teams like FTR and Big Bill and Ricky Starks, and you have teams like the Gates of Agony that are all headlining tag teams over there. You have Impact Wrestling with some of their tag teams over there that have main evented at different points. How do you feel, as we sit right here today, that the health of tag team wrestling is across the board industry-wide?
I love it today. Honestly, it's good to see just the focus that it's getting. People are taking it pretty serious, and they're running with it, and they're taking it to create moments and make it special, and it can be a good attraction when done right, like I was saying a minute ago. But right now, I'd say it's a very healthy tag team market, at least for the time being. You know, stuff changes. People, they grow tired of traveling together. It happens. I've seen it happen. They start getting heat with each other because they're around each other so much, and so that splits some teams up. So, and then sometimes creative, you just got to split things up and let it cool down. So, but right now at the moment, it's pretty strong just across the board. In all companies, it's getting a focus, and I like it. It's good to see. It makes me happy because, you know, when WWE is pushing tag team wrestling pretty hot and heavy, independents try to copy a lot of that sometimes, so they want to bring in more teams, which gives us more events and puts more money on my table, helps me feed my family, so I'm cool with it.
One of the more gut-wrenching things that has happened to the wrestling industry this year is, of course, the Vince McMahon scandals that rocked WWE and the entire industry, to be fair. Without getting into specifics and things of that nature, since he was ousted from the industry, do you think that's going to have ramifications on how wrestling as a whole is perceived by the mainstream media and people in general, or do you think that it's going to be sort of a black eye on the sport but will weather through it, or do you think that maybe it's going to cause a bigger drop when the current hot streak is starting to wane a little bit?
WWE is making the most revenue they ever had. Tickets are selling faster than they ever have. Merchandise is up more than it's ever been. I don't think there's really a black eye. I think people, I mean, negative situations happen. You got to acknowledge them. You got to say, hey, this happened. This is terrible. But we are adapting. We're improving. And I think the business overall over the last few years has been aiming in a more positive direction, creating a safer space for everybody to wrestle, to work. And even for the people not wrestling, just the backstage crew, whatever, people are more comfortable. They're creating better environments overall for the locker room. So I think we're seeing positive stuff. And sometimes when you're creating more positive environments, you gotta draw out, kick out, and remove the negative. And that can sometimes bring to light things that have happened. And, you know, these things need to be brought to light, and they need to put attention and not acknowledge them. And then they need to learn and grow from them and adapt and change. And I think we're seeing that, and I think it's good. there might be some negative thoughts around it in general, but I think the business is healthy. I think people see that wrestling is trying to improve from a standpoint of just the environment that can be typically a negative thing. So I think it's positive. And there will be, like you were saying, there's these hot moments. We're on a hot streak. They're heading into Mania. People are tweeting this at a rapid pace. It's hitting viral every day you look. There's something new. But, like, even when it cools off, again, I don't think it's going to be a massive dip. I think there's just a lot out there that is entertaining people in a good way. And as long as they keep just kind of pushing more for that good environment and that good positive situation rather than hiding stuff and trying to kayfabe a little too much, I think it's all good. At least I hope, I could be wrong, but I hope that it continues to grow and evolve and become a better place for everybody that's in it.
Now, just before the end of last year, we saw another big thing happen in the industry, that being the release of the major motion picture, The Iron Claw.
Yep.
It was controversial amongst wrestling fans because a lot of people seemed to go into it thinking it was going to be more of a documentary than a motion picture. A lot of people enjoyed it as a motion picture based on the actual events of the Von Erich family. It did not win a lot of awards, but a lot of people really enjoyed what it was. Did you see the movie and have any opinions on it?
I've not watched it. I will probably check it out at some point on a flight or something. I've got friends who were in it. My buddy Silas Mason was in there. My buddy James Beard was in it. A lot of good talent in there, just from a wrestling standpoint and from an acting standpoint. I've heard a lot of people talking very well about it. I know it's a tough story sometimes. It's a sad story. But I hope that it leads to more. I think some of these stories make for really good movies, really good drama. I think there's a lot of families that similar movies could be established on. I heard somebody mentioning maybe doing one on the Guerreros. I thought that would be fantastic, especially because you got Chavo who could help direct that, into a good spot. So, I'd love to see more like this. And it creates good engagement, too, for people to reflect. We have a lot of guys who don't know much of the history of the business, who, they're getting in, but they're very young, and maybe they don't know anything past early, mid-2000s, WWE. And so when we get to highlight some things from, like, the Mid-South era or just, Texas or, some places that people don't go back and really study tapes, when that becomes relevant for a hot minute, then people go back and study that era a little bit. I'm all for that. I think that needs to happen more often.
Ever since Mick Foley got on the New York Times bestsellers list at number one with his first autobiography, the market was flooded with books on pro wrestling, from autobiographies to biographies to historical books to books about current modern day wrestling. There's a wealth of them out there. Do you personally have a favorite wrestling based book?
Oh, that's a good question. I love Terry Funk's book. I don't know. Did you guys ever read that? It came out, it might have been 2005. What was that? I think I've even got it over here on the shelf. More Than Just Hardcore. That was Terry Funk's book. I love that one. The Bret Hart book's really good. Really long, but really solid. Jericho's first book was really good. I've not really read much of the others that he's put out, but the first one was solid. I mean, you have some, too, that they were just what they were, like Flair's and I think Hogan's. WWE produced those and just kind of threw them out. But some of the ones that actually tell good history of the business and some true thought went into them, I think were good. I really want to read, what's the Nitro book that Conrad's always talking about? It kind of breaks down just some of the WCW final days or just the final years, what led to the downfall. It might just be called Nitro. I don't know, but it's a good good from what I hear, so I'm going to read it. But, there's a lot of good out there, but I encourage everybody to pick up Terry Funk's book and Bret Hart's book and Jericho's first one. Those are all three. Oh, yeah, William Regal's book. William Regal had a really good book when it first came out, and I think that was from, like, 2006 or so, so... You get an early introspective into his career. Doesn't cover, 2006 forward. So it'd be cool to see another one from him. But you get a lot of his history, and I think it's very interesting, just his journey from England over to the States and what all he went through. Yeah, it's good to see.
One of the ways that pro wrestlers make money, especially at the independent level, is merchandising. Yeah. And usually at the independent level, merchandising is going to be the profit that the wrestlers see. They more or less will wrestle to cover costs.
Right.
That they are to sell merchandise. And when you get to the biggest level, sometimes merchandise can be worth the equivalent of what your base pay is for your contract to wrestle. What type of merchandising do you do for your own career?
Truthfully, we're heels most places we go. And most of the time, I try not to do situations where we interact too much with the fans. Thankfully, most events we get paid pretty well on the back end. Occasionally, if we do anything, we'll set up a table with 8x10s. 8x10s are the easiest way to make money in wrestling, period. So we'll set that up and have somebody watch the table for us. We won't come out too much too often. Just because everybody knows business is work and kayfabe is pretty dead. But while at the show, at least, I try to at least capture what I can out of it. But, yeah, so 8x10s are always the best turnover in terms of money, cost versus what you pull out, your net profit. We do pro wrestling tees and stuff, too, for the guys who want to buy shirts and things like that. So we have a few stores like that through pro wrestling tees. And then there's a company called Angry Lemonade who does a lot of our T-shirt related and hats and stuff merch-wise. But that's all online. So when it comes to being at the shows, it's 8x10s if we do anything.
You mentioned having Jim Cornette in your corner at different points in time. He started out in wrestling like a lot of people actually did as a photographer.
Yeah.
People would be surprised at how many people that held very high positions in wrestling started that way. A lot of the photographers ended up promoting, as a matter of fact, at some point in time or another.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about entering the business as a photographer that led to so many other avenues being opened?
You know, it's like this still today to a degree, but especially back then, it's opportunity. And when people see you around, the chance to be used in some fashion or form goes up, right? If you're constantly around, if you're the guy who's like, well, he's here every Friday night taking pictures, and then they go talk to you, and then they learn you got a personality, and they go, well, we might could do something with this guy. It's just being seen, and a lot of that is still today. You know, if guys would actually get out there and be seen and interact with people, develop relationships, then, you know, I think that would create a lot more opportunity. A lot of guys, they get to shows. Maybe they show up early. Most don't. and they go sit in the corner and sit on their phones instead of walking around the locker room, introducing themselves to people, trying to talk to people to find ways that they could help contribute, right? And then grow from there. But we live in an environment right now where people want instant gratification and they don't really want to invest in themselves or time and work for it, which is unfortunate. And but there are, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some guys that grind and there are some guys that really get themselves out there. And that's the ones you see prominently featured, right? But there's just so many talent that just sit at home instead of getting their face out there. And I think that would change as it opened doors for guys like Cornette. So, yeah, I mean, taking pictures, tearing tickets, setting up chairs, whatever gets you in the door. And then go from there. That's, I mean, when I broke in, 2004, I mean, I was training with you know, like Dr. Tom and with Ricky and Robert and stuff, we're still just going to towns and helping set up certain events just to get our face out there and then try to get any kind of match on the card or used in some fashion or form. So I'd love to see more of that mentality today.
And my last question for you is, since you have been around for quite a while and you –
yeah.
were brought up by guys that come from the generation where there was a lot more blood in pro wrestling because we just did not know the medical science of bloodborne pathogens at that point.
Yeah.
And blood has become sort of a controversial point in wrestling in 2024. Some people see nothing wrong as long as the wrestlers are tested periodically. Some people would rather not see any blood. Some people are completely fine with blood in every single match, every single night.
Yeah.
Where do you stand when it comes down to the issue of blood in pro wrestling here as we sit in 2024?
I'm not against it. I don't like seeing it predominantly. I don't want to watch it every single week. If we take it and we use it in so many matches every single week on all the shows, it loses its value, right? It might as well not even be there. But from a storytelling perspective, if it doesn't happen often, then you have that moment where it does. Then it means something, and you can build on that. It's the overexposure of it that drives me nuts. And I think a lot of guys get reckless with it too, right? But – I think if in a good environment, if the guys are clean, if there's a story where you really want to build it up with some good heat and it's not been done in a long time, I think it can add to the story when done right. But we don't live in that day and age. We have guys that want to do it every day. And then it's just part of their match. It might as well be a hip toss or an arm drag. Which, I mean, if that makes them happy and they're making money from it, by all means, that's just not my cup of tea.
Fair enough. Well, at this point, I am going to pass things right over to the coach with the most.
All right, yes. I got notes here, and you mentioned Silas Mason. Why don't you give a shout-out to him and tell the fans his situation.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, actually. I've got a cold, so I'm fighting some brain fatigue. Silas went through a rough situation here last week where his house burned down. And going through just a very tough time. And he had other wrestlers that live with him, too. You know, there's two or three of them. So they're all going through a challenging time. So if you go online to Silas's Instagram or Twitter, or I think even NWA's put it over pretty heavy on their social media and stuff too. I know guys like Trevor Murdoch have been sharing it. I shared it. you can do the GoFundMe, help donate to Silas. He needs it. It wiped out, you know, pretty much everything that they all had. So that would be much appreciated, I'm sure, on Silas' behalf. I hate to see stuff like that happen, especially to friends and you know, hardworking guys who are really grinding to try to make something out of this business. And so anything you could give would be much appreciated in that situation.
Definitely. Man, I know you're a real busy man. We'd like to know what you got coming up, and especially that camp that you got coming up.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. So the camp, I used to love going when I first broke in the business to wrestling camps and seminars. Not so much what you see today. Today you see a lot of seminars that are from like, hey, come by Saturday before the show from 1 to 3 p.m. And, there's a time and a place for that, and that's okay for what it is. But just I used to love these week camps or these week-long camps we do for Harley Race each year over in Eldon, Missouri. And these are the ones where you make a lot of connections and you meet a lot of people. So that started spiking, playing around in my brain. And then I'm also a Christian by faith, and it's really hit me over the last few years. I'm watching my daughter grow up that maybe I've not used my platform of legitimately traveling the world as best I could just to help people, be kind, share my Christian faith, see where people might be having trouble or trying to just be a better example of what that should look like. Because from a religious standpoint, from a Christian standpoint, there's a lot of people that maybe aren't great examples of what we're supposed to be. And I just want to create something to where we not only have that good seminar experience, but we also have a good Christian fellowship and are able to equip each other and help better represent our faith. So I've put together a camp. We're calling it Wrestling for the Kingdom. It is April 26th through 28th. It's in Kingsport, Tennessee. Wonderful trainers. We have Les Thatcher, one of my very best friends in this business, who is just an amazing trainer, has helped train some of the people you see on TV most today. There's myself. We have Chance Prophet, who is just wonderful in the ring and out, and very creative mind when it comes to things like character development. We have George South, Mr. Number One himself. You can see him for the last 40 years across NWA, all the Crockett, WCW, and now on GCW. He's just a fantastic trainer, just a wonderful human being. Excited to have him on board. And then Brad Thomas as well. He was, at one point, in my opinion, one of the best baby faces in the business, traveling with Ricky Morton and Bobby Eaton and guys like that back in the day. And he's now in full-time ministry. So we've got a really good crew, a lot of guys signing up from literally all around the world. Got some guys from just north of you, from British Columbia, headed down. Excited to have them. But just a weekend where we can learn, train, wrestle all day, have some good fellowship, and kind of equip ourselves to be better going forward in the Christian walk. And we're having an event that weekend, too, where the guys will get to wrestle in front of a live crowd and get good feedback from coaches and things from just being in front of a true wrestling environment and putting their work out there. And so excited for that weekend. And you can go to WrestlingForTheKingdom.com for more info around that. And be sure to sign up when you can, because we only have so many spots we're able to accommodate for this. So, but, yeah, looking forward to that for sure.
Hey, man, what a blessing. And, hey, why don't you give out the rest of your schedule coming up?
Yeah, I hit the road tomorrow. We're in High Point, North Carolina for a company called RWA. The next few weeks, we kind of just hit in and out of the Carolinas, a little bit of Tennessee, a little of Georgia coming up. Then you never know where we will pop in. But I put it over on my social media quite heavily. You can find all my social media handles at Sigmund, S-I-G-M-O-N, Wrestling, Sigmund Wrestling, on all of them, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and the like. And I try to keep things updated pretty well on there so you can see where we're headed. But generally every week, we're on the road traveling pretty hot and heavy. We're headed back down to Louisiana area here in a couple weeks, and excited to just get out and keep going.
Nice. And then what suggestions do you have for people wanting to get into the business?
Don't.
No. We get that a lot.
Yeah. No, honestly, just first, make sure that you really want to do this. It is a hard business. It's hard mentally. It's hard physically. It's hard on relationships. But if that passion is there and you truly want to make it happen, find a good trainer, somebody that's respected, and somebody that will actually invest good quality wrestling foundational skills into you. Guys like Dr. Tom, he's got the JPWA school here in Eastern Tennessee. It doesn't get much better than that, quite honestly, in terms of just a full-on school experience and training. And then you got George South training guys down in the Carolinas. That's always good. Al Snow has a really solid group up at OVW right now. And then there's more, but just do your research. And if you don't see that person on any cards that's respectable, and if you do not see relationships that said coach has had with good established people, that probably is not the guy you want to be learning from. So do that, and understand it's a financial investment too. You got to be willing to invest in your training and in your continuing education, just like any other field. And then things like travel and gear and all that. So, and then the other thing I would say is just be training in the gym. We don't all have to look like bodybuilders, but you do have to be able to go, and you have to be able to carry yourself from a cardiovascular standpoint. So train in the gym and start trying to eat right. Thankfully, you know, guys in the wrestling business have started to take nutrition and just their body health a little bit better over the last 10 or so years. And so just hop on that bandwagon and push forward.
Definitely. And then who are some up-and-comers that people should keep an eye on?
Oh, man. You know, I love Kerry Morton, Ricky's son. He's doing the thing right now in NWA. That's always good to see. Love being around them. NWA in general has a lot of good young guys that are really cutting teeth and trying to get in this business and really push forward, make a name for themselves. So I would just suggest turning on the NWA, quite honestly, and seeing some of those guys that are really trying to make it to the next level and push NWA to the next level as well. Other guys that stand out, oh man, there's a lot of guys that are really, really grinding right now. I'm trying to think if anybody else just comes to mind. Gustavo, who's also on NWA, he's doing a lot here in the Southeast Tennessee area. He's a wonderful young talent, up and coming, works hard, great guy. So just get out there and just watch wrestling. Just watch your local stuff. Go support local wrestling. You see a lot of talent come in and out of different places that are worthwhile, and more the merrier.
You're a multi-time champion. Tell us about some of your championships.
Yeah, four-time NWA World Tag Team Champion, thankfully. God blessed us with some good times there. And just we've got a lot of regional titles. AML Wrestling, who runs WrestleCade, we've been fortunate to be their tag team champions, I think, five times now. And we've got a massive collection of belts at the moment. The trunk of my car stays pretty weighed down. We're current RWA tag team champions, which we're defending tomorrow. So we try to belt collect everywhere we go because that guarantees a return trip, right?
Yes, definitely. And then give a shout out to your partner, Elliot Russell.
Yeah, my best friend there and my partner for 10 plus years now, and we haven't killed each other yet. It's a wonderful experience, quite surprising some days. But Elliot Russell, you will not find him really on social media at all, and he tries to be a little more private on the socials, which I fully respect. But powerhouse of the group. He's the one who helps get things done when we're in the ring, and he sets people up, and I just take advantage from there. So love Elliot, and I'll be with him in the morning.
Nice. Anybody else that you want to give a shout-out to in the industry?
Oh, man. Not really, honestly. I mean, there's so many guys I could sit here and just list and name all day long. But if I do that, somebody will get their feelings hurt that I didn't name drop them. I'm already probably going to get heat for the young guy to comment the best up and coming talent. I'm going to have text messages about that. So, there's just a lot of good guys out there right now. Girls too. There's guys and girls that are just working so hard. I'm proud to know so many people that are grinding and really trying to make the business not only a better place, but just more entertaining and just a good experience for everybody involved. That's about all I've got in terms of people. I don't want a specific
invite. Okay. All right, very cool. Hey, Sign Guy, do you have anything else before we wrap it up?
I think that's all I've got, except good luck in the match tomorrow.
Hey, I'm going to need it because I've had this head cold all week, and I keep coughing, and I'm going to be sniffly, and maybe that's my finish tomorrow. I just give the other guys a cold, and they get sick, and I pin them. We'll see.
Okay.
Try
some oil of
oregano. That should clear up the cold, at least to get you through the match.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll give it a try.
Nice.
Enjoy your Saturday, gentlemen.
How do people get a hold of you, brother?
Yeah, just the social media, man. Just Sigmund Wrestling on all the socials, and that's about the best way to get in touch with me. And at wrestlingforthekingdom.com for the camp related stuff, and that's about it at the moment.
Thank you so much, brother, for your time, for your interview, for everything you do for wrestling, your wrestling mind, I wish you all the luck in the world, brother. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the day. God bless.
Hey, one last thing, Matt. Sign Guy is the host of Turnbuckle Turmoil. They've been going for 14 years with 1,900 shows. We'd sure like to get you in their library, so we're going to send you another invite for his
Line
show,
it up.
Please.
Line it up. Let's knock it out.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. There he is, Matt Sigmund of the Heat Seekers. Man, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Sign Guy. Hey, Sign Guy, what do you got coming up?
In just a few hours, I'll be in Vaughan, Washington for Northwest Pro Wrestling. Tomorrow on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we have Hollywood of the original Glow Girls. Then later this month, on the 30th, I'll be in Linwood, Washington for Combat Pro Wrestling Presents Theatrical Wrestling. Then in April, on the 6th, I'll be back in Ocean Shores for RWA. On the 13th, back over in Vaughan for Northwest Pro Wrestling. Then on the 21st, I'll be at the arena in Jeffersonville, Indiana for Paul Cade number 5.
Nice, and you got a Sign of the Times coming up.
I should record one later today and have it out tomorrow.
Okay, and then what else you got going besides that? You got your Sign Guy 77 on YouTube.
Indeed. You can find me on the YouTubes, over on the X, the Gram, all the usual social medias. Chicken Bob also up there. So check those out. And you can find us on Turnbuckle Turmoil Sundays at 1 Pacific. Fridays we're on at 3 p.m. Pacific. And we are taking next week off because I'm going to be traveling to visit Todd the Rhinoceros.
Nice. Where's that going to be?
El Paso, Texas.
Sweet. I haven't been there yet. All right, Sign Guys, thank you so much for your time and everything you do. We appreciate you so much.
All right, Coach, I will talk to you really soon.
All right, there he is, Sign Guy, and you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, a coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And, of course, the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast every Saturday at noon Pacific. And then, of course, I'm blessed to be on Turnbuckle Turmoil on Sundays at 1 Pacific. Now, next week, I've got Rudy Boy Gonzalez on the 23rd. And at the end of the month, I've got the Golden Boy, Greg Anthony, the AIWF World Champion, on at the end of the month. Right now, I'm in talks with Missy Hyatt about getting her on for April. Once we get the ink dried, we'll get back with you guys. We love you so much. We appreciate you. We thank you so much for your support and feedback, love and hope. And here is the Never Were with Coach Mike Jones Show walk-on song with Joe Love. Thank you so much. Love you and have a great weekend.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose or diagnose.
You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Everybody say, Coach Mike Jones. Now scream!